Let's open our Bible, if you will, please. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 again. Thank you, brother. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment and then bring the message I believe the Lord would have me to in the service this morning. Good to be here. It's on this set out of my pocket, so I won't be burdened down with that. And out of my Bible, I had a few things in my Bible that's not inspired. Stuff that I put in there in case you don't understand what I'm talking about. I wanted to lay it aside lest it fall out while I'm preaching and distract. But anyway, good to be here. Good to be saved. Amen. I appreciate the meeting. Appreciate the Lord. Yes. Thank God for all He's done and doing. And of course, every one of us who have very much intelligence know that we're nothing without Him. He's everything to us. And everything that we ever accomplish is accomplished because of our yielding ourselves to Him. To work in our lives. Let me just say this. I was thinking this morning, and I'm getting to be an older man. I've been around a few days. I have a few thoughts every once in a while that I can still retain. But I was thinking about some situations here in our society that we live in. And I would think, Brother Shepherd, one of the top problems in America today would be the lack of personal responsibility and personal accountability. Personal responsibility. Let somebody else do it. And if it don't go right, it's somebody else's fault. But the sad part is, that has crept into our churches. Let God do it. Let the preacher do it. Let the deacons do it. Let somebody else do it. And then if it don't go right, we blame somebody else. God help us to realize what we're doing today as we're coming into this, as I said last night, personal responsibility. God help us to do what God wants us to do. God does it through us, but I said, let me just repeat, I'm repeating, but I said last night, there's God's part man cannot do. But there's man's part God will not do. And that's true in every aspect of service. I don't care what you serve in the work of God. There's God's part and your part. Brother Milton Taylor used the phrase so much. Learn to cooperate with God. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He'll do things through your life. Again, it's been a joy to be back. Let me just say thank you for everything. And thank you for your faithful support. And Brother Hall, we're down to that 15th anniversary of the Harvest Time broadcast. It was actually on September the 1st, if my memory is correct, at the closing of this service, that Brother Hall got up here and dumped Harvest Time in my life, my heart. And he dumped the time, but he didn't dump the money. God's been so gracious. Our radio bill runs near $5,000 a month. And it was up a little bit more. We dropped three stations in 2016. But anyway, God's taken care of everything, and I praise Him for it. And I do want to say this, it's not an alarm. I don't mean it to be an alarm. I mean it to be a prayer request. I am getting older. And the broadcast is probably one of the hardest things on my lungs. It don't bother me near as much to preach in the pulpit as it does preach on the radio. So I want to know God's will and continue to do God's will. I want to stay on. I've got enough stations that carry it free. It's not money situation, but I want to know God's will. I want to do what God wants me to do. You pray God will help me and God will give me wisdom to do the will of God, and God's blessings be upon it to the glory of the Lord. And the fruit at the judgment seat of Christ you will share in because of your prayers and your financial support down through the years. All right, verse number one, the Bible said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God had prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve of your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message from the Word of God for this hour. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you this morning in prayer. Father, one more time, let me say thank you that you let me be born in America. Lord, you let me be born into a Christian home, a Christian family. Lord, you let me grow up in Sunday school and church all of my life. Father, I cannot remember my first time of holding a Bible in my hand. I cannot remember the Lord my first trip to church. I cannot remember the first preacher I heard preach. Lord, I was so young. Yet, Father, make me conscious of the multitudes around the world today that are old and still never held a Bible in their hand. They've still never gone to church because many of them have no true church to go to. They live in heathen darkness. They'll die in heathen darkness if we don't get the gospel to them. Lord, as I said the other night, if we do not go to them, they cannot come to Him. Thank You, our Father, Lord, for this church, for the pastor and the people. Dear Lord, I pray today, help every member of Island Ford Baptist Church to recognize their personal responsibility, Lord, to be involved in the work of missions. And Lord, help us all to realize that one day we shall stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ and give accountability, Lord, to what we've done in the work of missions. Bless and have Your way. Bless all these missionaries who've been with us. And Lord, Your continued blessing upon Pastor Shepherd and the church here and every member of it. We'll praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, for the message from the Word of God today. He indicates I'm not turned on. I don't know what I've done to the microphone. I got it in my pocket, boy. Where is it? That's my keys in my pocket. Power, I'm on mute. I guess that done it. That take care of it? I'm not on. Okay, there it is. Go with you. Now we on? Okay, sorry about that. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, I pointed out these things to you last night, and I want to do a brief review and then go on in our study of the Word of God. Let me preface again by saying this. What kind of God would it be that would set up a church and not set up a method of financing it? What kind of God would it be that would give a great commission and not set up a method of financing it? I want to tell you something. If you think that of the God of the Bible, you don't know the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible set up a church and He will finance it. The God of the Bible set up great commission and missions and He will finance it if we will honor and obey Him. I do not recall if I did this year, last year, or not. It's something I picked up. I love these little visible things and these little illustrations that open up window for our understanding into some deeper truths of the Word of God. My wife and I were raising our children, especially the first two. We grew up, that would have been in the 60s and 70s. We grew up in the country. Of course, we live in the country most of our life. I still live in the country. But we live in a part of the country then where you didn't worry about your kids going down the road a mile or two to play with the neighbors or riding the bicycle 4 or 5 miles up and down the road or even farther than that. And we would go to a grocery store on Friday night, purchase an order of groceries either that or Saturday morning. But sometimes during the week, my wife would say something like this to me. I need a gallon of milk. I need a dozen eggs. I need a bag of sugar. You understand what I'm saying? Now, being a married man, I understood that it needed no explanation. I knew it meant either I go get it or I send one of the children after it. And most of the time it was send the children after it. So I would call one of my older children or both of them in there, and I'd say to them, run down to the store and get Mama a gallon of milk or whatever the need is. And you've done that. Everybody with me? But there's always one gesture that went with it. You know what it was? I ordered the milk. I pay for the milk.
That's right.
Now, on that same basis, I didn't order the Great Commission.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Our Father did.
Yes, sir, He did.
And if as an earthly father, I knew if I ordered something for my children to go do, I had to pay for it.
Right.
How much more does our Heavenly Father... I don't know. And by the way, I meant to pay for it. I intended to pay for it. I even wanted to pay for it. I was glad I could pay for it.
Right, right.
How much more does our God expect to pay for what He tells us to do?
Right.
I can truly say, Brother Hall, in these 15 years, I have never been a month. In all these years, I've never been late.
Amen.
Let me correct that. God's never been late.
Amen.
We've never had to call a radio station and say we'll do it later. God has paid the bills.
Amen.
And He is paying the bills. He will pay the bills for you. God, throughout the countryside that I've had the privilege of going to, I've had the privilege to see it. But church after church, just like this church, God, through His people that's willing to obey Him, God pays the bill for missions to get the gospel out to the lost and dying world. But the only thing that limits God is our lack of belief, our failure to trust God. So God will pay the bills if we'll obey Him. I point out to you, first of all, the Bible does teach tithing, and that's God's method of financing the church. I'm not going into detail there, except just to say this, the tithe does belong to God. First 10% of income doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. And God gives specific instructions. God said, you're to separate His from yours, bring it to church, dedicate it to God, and it's used basically to pay the bills, financing the normal function of the church. Above that, God set up free will offerings. That's for special needs that arises in the life and ministry of the church. If you've been around the church long, you know there's always needs that arises. But God provides for them.
Amen.
Then there, thirdly, is the mission offering we're dealing with today. But before I proceed into that, I want to back up and say this. It's not just a one-sided affair in scriptural giving. You give, but you don't lose. God's spoon's bigger than your shovel, and God will not let us outgive Him. God said in the Word of God to Ashen, to all His people, said it in Malachi chapter number 3, that if we had tithed, He'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that there's not word, that was not room enough to receive. I want to make myself known. I am a candidate for those kind of blessings.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And then God said concerning the free will offering, give and it shall be given unto you. And it gives four steps, four things, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men heap into your bosom. You are not the loser in giving to God. You are the benefactor. God will bless you for doing so. But now then we come to this thought, and I'll build from this morning. The tithe is fixed. It's 10%. Nobody has to get out of bed on Sunday morning and pray, oh God, what's my tithe? I know your pastor for the last several weeks has been encouraging you, pray about your faith promise, and I hope you have been, and I hope you will be. But I'm counting on it, Brother Shepherd. You've never got up here and told them pray about their tithe. God already made a clear, concise statement about Him. The tithe does not belong to you, it belongs to God. God said, separate His from yours, bring it to church, dedicate it to God.
Amen.
Then that dedication, it loses your identity, takes on the church's identity. It's God's tithe, and God uses, I said, to pay the bills.
Amen.
But the mission offering is to be done by faith.
That's right.
And faith requires seeking God's direction.
Amen.
Seeking God's face. Now, there are times... There are times that God even moves without our asking Him.
Sure, yes.
Some of you, sometimes even I go and I hear this. Somebody say, you know, God spoke to my heart a couple of weeks ago about what I'm to give. God can do that. He's God. He can do it any way He wants to.
Sure.
But if you are not sure, even if you have a figure on your heart this morning, you think God gave it to you, I encourage you, don't just put it down lightly. Find out if it's God, and you're doing it by faith, or if you're figuring out what you can do.
Right.
We love to live in our comfort zone, don't we?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God wants us to do it by faith, where we trust Him and watch Him and get Him the glory out of it. So we learned in our study from this, and I rambled a little bit there, but we learned it's to be systematic giving, verse number 2, upon the first day of the week. We learned it's to be total involvement. Let every one of you, in verse number 2 again. We learned that we're to give according as God's prospered us, in verse number 2. And we learned that our giving of missions is to be done to and by and through the local church. Church missions is a church budget. We were talking last night, or yesterday evening, rather, after the service. And I mentioned this. I use this illustration some. You know, I'm not talking about a gift. I believe, Pastor, if I'm wrong, you have the right to say what you want to when you get back up. But I think I know you well enough to know you agree with what I'm fixing to say. If God lays on any member of this church the thought, the burden to give one of these missionaries $100, give it to them. But if God lays on your heart to support one of them missionaries on a monthly basis as a mission work, then do it through the local church.
Right.
I didn't tell you the punt line of it. If God lays on your heart to give me $100, give me $2. Amen. But that's a gift. You see what I'm saying? You understand the distinction. Mission support is to be through the church. You don't get any glory here, but you get glory there. Church gets the glory. God gets the glory.
Amen.
And God blesses you for honoring His bride. You know, I got to get off this one, but somebody said it yesterday. I'm going to repeat it again. And one day this week. If you don't have recognition and respect to my wife, you don't have it for me either. And I'm not going to have much back to you if you don't respect my... Don't come up to me and say, Brother Blue, I love you, but I can't stand your wife. Brother Ed Blue used to say there's a ball on the end of my right arm that might not be sanctified. You cannot love God and not love the church.
Right.
And God has no avenue of approach to Him that bypasses the local church. So we see the missions goes through the local church as well. Now, the missions is to be done by faith. And in doing it by faith, that means we must first hear from God. Faith is not me telling God what I'm going to do.
Right.
By the way, faith is not me telling God what I can't do.
Right.
But faith is no more. I know you could give hundreds of definitions of faith, but I love this. I've just been using it recently. But faith is no more, preachers, faith is no more than a trusting obedience to what God says. A trusting obedience. Trusting's not enough if it don't bring obedience.
Right.
Obedience is no more than works if it's not trusting. So it's a trusting obedience. God said, Noah, build an ark. And by faith, he moved with fear and built the ark.
Amen.
So our missions giving is to be done by faith. And as we do so, then God provides through us. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. One of the missionaries used this, pardon me, chapter number 8. One of the missionaries used this sometime during the week, but it's still in my Bible. Y'all sing the same song so I can use the same scripture.
Amen.
Amen. But here we have what I think is one of the great examples of faith promise giving given to us in the Word of God. In verses 1 through verse number 5, the Bible said, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Pray and ask with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. This they did not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I've dealt with this scripture here before, but please allow me to review it with you and remind you of it again. Three churches are involved in our text here. There's the church at Corinth to whom Paul addresses this letter. Then there are the churches of Macedonia. Could be more than two. There could be three, but at least there's two and we know of at this time. The church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica. If you study on your map and look at them, these are Thessalonica and Philippi are in the province, or we would call it the state of Macedonia. Corinth is a capital city of the province called Achaia. They're adjacent states. They're neighboring states at the top of the Aegean Sea and down the side of it there, hanging down on the peninsula. There's something comes into there that described in verse number 2 as a terrible, what is it, a great trial of affliction. Most writers, and I believe this to be so myself, though I would not argue the point of it, believe it was a famine because of its broad effect. And some other reasons we have for believing that. So I'm going to use it as a famine, and I hope you'll not get upset at me for doing so. But here comes a famine in the land. A famine would be something to Island Ford Baptist Church, what it would be to this church if every employed person in here lost their job for 3 months. And as we make the expression, the only income we would have would be what we could pick up on the side. Y'all understand that expression? Now, Pastor, if I were pastoring a church and we got in that situation, I think I know what I would do. I'd call a men's meeting. We got a problem. What are we going to do? Now, if you let me assume upon that and build upon that, the church at Corinth, can I just say, they have their men's meeting. What are we going to do? And they come out with this conclusion. Let's stop giving to missions. Let's make it through this, and then it's indicated, and then we will do something again for missions. But the church at Macedonia, the churches of Macedonia, they have their men's meeting, and they face it in this manner. Boy, this is rough on us. They said, let's believe God.
Amen.
Let's trust God. Let's give God a chance. I'm fixing to make one of the most convicting statements I make that, as far as my own personal life is concerned. You know, we've got a God that can do anything.
Sure.
As long as we don't need anything.
Yeah. You're right there, brother.
But when we get desperate, we lean to our own understanding and look to our own abilities. And we're afraid to trust God in the hard times. I need to go to the altar. Myself said it, but it's true. It's true. It's true. But in this great trial of affliction, let's believe God. Let's trust God. Let's give God a chance. I used to pastor a man. He's been gone for a number of years. But he had this saying, man's extremity is God's opportunity.
Amen.
When I can't, it's God's opportunity to prove God can.
Amen.
But it takes faith to believe that God can. And just let Him. You don't make Him. You don't force Him. You don't compel Him. You just let Him. He wants to manifest Himself.
Amen.
But oftentimes it takes great difficulty to experience a great display of God's ability in our life. So the churches of Macedonia, the church at Corinth, they go in there and they stop their missions giving. And when you study the scripture, to use common description, they're not giving the missions. They have no money for that. They have no money to pay the bills, and the church is dying. But the churches of Macedonia, they said, let's believe God, let's trust God, let's see what God will do. And they go on and continue to give as God supplies through them. And you know what happens? God supplies the money for missions, they pay their bills, and the church is growing and flourishing. If we say revival breaks out, and the church at Corinth heard what's going on, they said, what's going on over there? Paul said in verse number 1, you're a witness and a wit to wit. Witnessing the grace of God.
Amen.
Now I hope everybody here knows this. There is in the Bible an element of grace that's called the grace of giving. Throughout these two chapters especially. You're seeing God do the unthinkable. As far as the human flesh is concerned, the unbelievable. You're seeing God display His ability in the light of man's inability.
Amen.
Then it's like Paul said to them, let's see what they're doing. God's no respecter of person. If we see what they're doing, then God's blessing them. Then if we can do what they're doing, maybe God will do something for you here at Corinth as well. And so it begins, and I must go to verse number 5 for the beginning of our study. Because here is the key. Here's where it starts. This they did not as we had hoped. But number one, they first gave their person to the Lord. They gave themselves. God's not after our money. God's after us. But if God ever gets us, God will get everything we have. Anything in our life that's not under the Lord's control will become our God and control us. I viewed an illustration before, you know, and I just do it again. It's not hard to get Baptists to give money to missions. Thank you for not breaking the record. Nobody ever says amen to that statement. But it's still true. It would be amazing to know the mission money that will be put in an offering plate today. It would be shocking. Can I say this and not make any boast of the flesh, please? No attention to myself. Since 1995, every year I've seen over $1 million a year raised for missions.
Amen.
1 year I passed $2 million. God done it. I know that.
Right.
But I just got thinking about the other day, Bill Shepherd, $1 million a year. In fact, I think it's $1,200,000, something like that, would be $20,000 a Sunday. From just the meetings I've been. Now, please, no pat on my back. No glory to me. $20,000 a Sunday. That's the churches I'm in. 50, 55, 60 churches a year do that. Well, I'm not the only one doing what I'm doing. There's multitudes. Not multitudes, but there's a number of people that are doing this. So there'll be thousands of dollars put in an envelope or check written, just like you do, and put in the offering plate today. I know when the last Sunday in the month, that's normally the lower Sunday of giving, but Sunday by Sunday average. But you know what those, you know what we do then? We thank the Lord for that mission offer. Lord, take this mission offer and multiply it to meet the need of missions around the world in Jesus' name, amen. But what the Macedonians did and what you and I need to do is take our offering, our invisible offering plate off of the table, put it down on the floor, and put ourselves in God's offering plate. I preached several meetings for Dr. Don Green up in Lansing, Michigan, and I remember preaching up there and dealing with this one day. I did not know this at that time, but somebody, pastor, had made Dr. Green an offering plate that's at least 24 inches across. It's made if a man and his wife stand face to face, they can both get in there, and a child on either side. Four people can get in that offering plate.
Amen.
It's a family. Dr. Green sent to his office and had that brought out, and he said, as I gave the altar call, he raised his hand, and of course, you always respect the pastor. I gladly did that. I said, yes, sir, Dr. Green. And he said, turn around to his microphone. They have him a microphone there. He said, now, I don't want nobody coming and kneeling in the altar. This man's talking about giving yourself to God. I want you to come get in this offering plate.
Amen.
And then here's the rest of it. Wonder what happened if we put ourselves in the offering plate and we laid our hand on our head and said, Father, take this mission offering.
Yeah.
Yeah. As serious as I can say it, I wonder what God would do with you. I'm just taking time to scan the crowd. I'm not trying to make nobody feel personally. I'm picking you up. I'm saying, wonder what God would do with you.
Amen.
The tragedy is, most people will never know.
That's right.
Yeah. Because they'll never put their hand in their chef in the offering plate and say, Lord, take this mission offering.
Right.
That don't mean you're going to the mission field. Doesn't mean you're not. I dare say the most missionaries that surrendered to the mission field never did what I just said.
Right.
They had it in their heart, just a different application, different illustration on it. But I wonder what God would do. But I want to say this. God don't have to put you on the mission field to use you in missions with your body.
Amen.
God can take your body and let it earn money.
Right.
God can sure enough use your body in supplication and intercessory prayer.
Amen.
God can use your body right here to be a witness here while you're sending others other places. But our problem is we love ourselves. We're so hooked on ourselves. Can I say it? We're married to ourselves, and we're not about to yield lordship of our total life to God. These Macedonians gave themselves first to the Lord. As a result of that, under God's leadership in verse number 2, they're not only willing to give their person, Lord, but they're willing to give out of their poverty. I feel so mean as I say this, and I'm not doing it with any heart that's wrong at all. My spirit's right. But we have swallowed this old idea of materialism in the flesh. I can't. And we're so guilty of limiting God to our abilities. If I can't do it, God can't do it through me. That's the attitude of even good, faithful church members, many of them, day after day. God, they were willing to give their person first, then they were willing to give out of their poverty. You know, if you're not willing to give where you're at financially, you probably never will give. Oh, preacher, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to missions. I doubt that. Tell me what you've done to payday. If you wouldn't give a half a paycheck, you wouldn't give a half a million. I mean, you're not going to make me believe that. We're willing to do what we can't do. But we're not willing to use what we have, God. Somebody preached this week, the young man, young assistant pastor, that had done a great job with it. One of my favorite messages in the Bible God's ever given me is on that little lad who had a little lunch, met a great big Lord, had a whole lot of leftovers. Maybe because I love fish and hush puppies, but I love to preach on that. I love that story. God did something in my life one day as a young preacher, 20 years old. I've been preaching a year and a half, and I preached on that, and God did something in my life. I'm not going to go into detail now to tell you that. But that little lad was willing. You know, if that crowd, they were like typical Baptists. They were hooked on what they didn't have instead of giving what they did have to God. I thought about this, and we can make a simple application out of it. I'm glad this early start. I got plenty of time to preach. But I thought about this, you know. Those disciples could have said, well, Lord, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but that's not enough fish. And if that's enough fish, it's not enough bread. We have enough bread. We don't have any tartar sauce. And tartar sauce don't have any French fries. Had French fries don't have any ketchup. Had ketchup don't have any plates. Had plates don't have any drinks. Had drinks don't have any cups. Had cups don't have any ice. Had ice don't have any spoons and forks. Had spoons and forks don't have any napkin. You could just run it to the ground. What we don't got. God don't need what you don't have. God wants what you've got.
Amen.
And God will take what you've got and make it what He needs.
Amen.
To get the job done.
Amen.
To the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were willing to give their person. They're willing to give out their poverty. Verse number 2, the last part, it said, their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Can I say that in Kentucky language? They wound up giving more in a time of famine than they had been giving in a time of fullness.
Right.
Yeah. You say, preacher, how do you explain that? G-O-D. God. God. But now look at verse number 3. And oh, God, help us to get to verse number 3. The Bible said, for to their power are by record, yea, and beyond their power.
Amen.
They were willing themselves. Number 1, they were willing to give their person first. Number 2, they were willing to give out their poverty. Number 3, they were willing to give beyond their power. I feel sometimes so mean to say what I'm fixing to say, but it hurts me as much as it hurts probably anybody in here. Most Baptists are not willing to do what they can.
That's right.
We just do what we can get by with.
Uh-huh.
You're right.
But these Macedonians not only were willing to give what they could, they were willing to give what they couldn't give beyond their ability.
Right.
I like to use the expression found over in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. You know, they said they're drunk. This crowd of Macedonian believers got drunk on the grace of giving. They want to do more. You say, preacher, how can you do more than you can do? G-O-D.
Amen.
I want to ask you something. If you're a parent, you can identify what I'm fixing to say. You got a small, you know, 10 or under boy or girl. Brother Shepherd, let me use you. I'm not going to embarrass you to do this. I remember I met you when you didn't have all the children. I remember you, I think, expecting one of the children when we meet and I was up there. Maybe it was born when I was up there. But one of them little fellas come up to you and said, "Daddy, your birthday's next Friday. I sure would like to give you a present. Daddy, would you give me some money to buy you a birthday present?" I hope you don't think he's going to slap him away. No, I'm not giving you that.
Right.
Hey, God loves the world enough he gave his son to die for them.
Amen.
Jesus left heaven to die for that world that we're given to missions to go reach.
Right. Amen.
You think God's going to turn you away if you're asking him for money to put in the cause that his son died for?
Amen.
No, they were willing to give beyond their power. And there's just unlimited ways God can provide. You say, "Well, preacher, how can I give more than I can give?" And there's three things I can mention that we understand, and I'm not going into any details or illustrations. I'm just going to name them and go on. But God can do it through an increase of wages.
Yes.
You say, "Preacher, I live on fixed income." My question to you is, who fixed it?
Yeah.
Do you ever try to put fixed income in the Bible? "Now as I fixed income be, so be it unto thee." And I am not cold toward those, Brother Hall, who do live on limited income. I know some of the senior saints that used to, not, but I'm telling you, don't limit God to your Social Security check.
Amen.
Come on. Am I being mean, Pastor? I'm not being mean. I'm not being mean at all. But don't limit God to your payday. God can do it through an increase of wages. Number two, God can do it through saving you some money.
That's right.
The automobile that I'm driving out here, I got $231,000 on it now. It's doing pretty good. I've been driving. Somebody asked me today how long I had that car. I think I've been driving it 7 years. When I bought that car, Brother Shepherd, I was in Florida. I'd been dealing with a dealer trying to, he was hunting me one, and he found me one. I'd driven white cars for years. I just like white cars, so don't get dirty so easy. And the man, the sales manager called me and he said, "Brother Bruce," said, "we found you a car if you can get past the color." And I asked what it was. He told me, and I said, "Well, you know, how many miles?" He told me, and he said, "Then, you know the bottom line, how much is it?" And he priced it to me. This is on Friday. I said, "I'll be home Sunday. I'll be there Monday. And let me look at it and see." After all, I ride on the inside. I don't look the color while I'm driving. So I just, you look at the color. Called me back about an hour and he said, "Preacher, Jimmy, that's the owner. Said, if you don't take that car, don't tell nobody what he priced it for. He priced the wrong car." Said, "That car you're talking about is $3,000 more." I'm not trying to pin flowers on me to say this. I'm just being honest with you. I wouldn't change it if God's sitting on the front pew. I went on in Monday. I looked at it. I went in the office. I sat down with the owner of the dealership. And I said, "Now, Jimmy, we've all made mistakes. I have. You have. We'll make more. And I cherish our friendship more than I cherish $1,000. So you tell me what you need for this car. I'll give it. I'll tell you whether I'll take it or not." He's a Methodist. He's a quieter fellow. He said, "Preacher, I'm just going to let the dealership suffer the $3,000 loss." Now, that may have been Jimmy Prater's mistake in his mind. But in my mind, it was God saving me
$3,000.
Never one of you, if you've been around long, you've got stories you could tell. God can save us some money. I used to have a fellow, Brother Shepherd, and no reflect to anybody's physical when I say this, but he was one of those, he was a large preacher, the Billy Kelly, the Bobby Grubbs, that side, the 425-pound preachers, you know. He just weighed about 420. He was a little bit smaller than them. He looked forward to Brother Bobby and Brother Billy gaining weight so they'd hand him his suits down. So God can let somebody put on some weight and pass you some clothes on down. Or let somebody lose some weight and pass. God can do it. And I know that may be foolish, but God can do it.
Sure he can.
God can do it. Somebody told me just the other day, some preacher I was with told me about getting a call and a man that went on a diet and lost weight. And I think he gave him 13 suits.
Amen.
And they wasn't Walmart brand either. No effect to Walmart. No. God can save me. God can do it with the increase of wages. God can do it through the unexpected.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes the almost unbelievable.
Yeah.
God can do it.
Amen.
That's where faith comes in. I told you the story before. I was preaching on the Florida Panhandle, and I went on Wednesday night to start the meeting. There was a young couple, just two rows of pews on the aisle, back the middle, and sitting on the left-hand side of the aisle. There's a young couple there, maybe 40, maybe 38, somewhere in that age, that had the effects of a life of sin showing on their body. And it does affect your exterior.
Yes, sir,
it does. I spotted them the first night, but I saw they were with me in the meeting. You know, they were singing, they were in the... And with me preaching, the pastor said to me, "Did you see that couple?" And I said, "Yeah." He said they got saved 3 months ago. And he said, "You're talking about a life of sin." It wasn't long till the young man come out. And he told me how God saved him 3 months ago. And the pastor told me, he said, "Now he'll make a comment every night about what you're preaching. And he means it complimentary. He's never, contradictory, complimentary." And he'd done that. Well, I preached on tithing one night. I separated tithing from this and the night there. And he come out and he said, "I'm doing that."
Amen.
I said, "Wonderful." He said, "And the preacher told me if I'd tithe, God would bless me." And he said, "We're in terrible financial shape, and I started tithing, and God is doing some things." And I said, "God will do it if you'll keep on. He'll keep on."
Sure.
Then I preached faith promise, and he come back there, and he said, "Can I get in on that?" I have never said no to that question. I'm too old to change now. I said to him, "Ask God what he wants you to do. And start doing it. And God will provide and God will bless you for obeying him."
Amen.
He'll kick off a few handfuls of purpose. He said, "Okay." He walked away and I looked at pastor and his eyeballs was in orbit. He said, and he said to me, "If you just knew their financial condition."
Yeah.
I didn't say this, but I sure enough thought it. I don't know their financial condition. But I know his financial condition. And I know he honors faith. You don't have to be a 35-year-old saved person. I'm talking about Christian life, 35 years old in the Lord.
Amen.
On Sunday morning, we came out at the close of the meeting. And he said, "I done it."
Amen.
And I'd use that experiments phrase over in verse number, in chapter number 9. He said, "I done it." I said, "What you doing?" He said, "I promised $30 a month. I don't know where it's going to come from." After he got saved, the Monday morning break time became his pulpit. He couldn't keep it quiet. He had to tell what God did yesterday at church. They just expected it. So this Monday morning come in and somebody mentioned it, brought it up about yesterday. And he said, started tears piling up in his eyes, pulling up in his eyes. And he said, "You know, God saved me 3 months ago and y'all know what it was." And he said, "Financially, we're just in such a mess. But the preacher told us if we'd start tithing, that's God's plan, and God would honor that. And we did, and he has." And then he said, "Last week, that preacher come down there and told me that I could have a part in getting the gospel to people that had never heard." And he said, "The strangest thing is," he said, "all you got to do is find out what God wants to give through you and believe God, and God will do it." And by the way, that's still true.
Amen.
He said he used that word experiment over there. And he said, "I don't know how it's going to work. But I'm going to see what God will do." While he's telling the story, a lost man on the job speaks up and said, "How much is it?" And he said, "$30 a month. That sinner pulls out his wallet and said, "Here's the first payment." And about 6 or 7 months later, I was back in the Florida Panhandle in another church. And this young man that got saved didn't come, but another man from the church came, Brother Shepherd. And he said to me, "You remember that?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You know what happened?" I said, "I don't know about the first month." He said, "That lost man is still giving him $30 a month." Said he comes up first of every month, says, "About time for his mission payment again, ain't it?" You say, "I wouldn't take it from a sinner. Put it in that jug. I'll take it from you." God can do it through the unexpected.
Amen.
Sometimes even the unbelievable. Sometimes God does things you're almost embarrassed to tell. You're afraid they won't believe it. They think you're exaggerating.
Yes, sir.
But he's God.
Amen.
He will not say no to one of his children that want to do more
Amen.
For
Amen.
God.
Amen.
A I better move on. Number four, number three. Number one, they were willing to give the person first. Number two, they were willing to give out of their poverty. Number three, they were willing to give beyond their power. I get down in Texas and out west some. And Brother Shepherd, I've learned they are much harder on this verse than I am. They preach us to say you do all you can. And when you've done all you can to your power, then you can go to God and see what He'll do. And there's some of those churches down there that give $1 million a year to missions.
Amen.
A couple or three of them that I know do. But I take it to be this. This is the way I preach it through the years. You got a heart of faith to believe and obey God. God will not fail you.
Amen.
In what? You commit to missions if you do it in obedience. Now, again, let me be clear. You don't just write down some foolish figure.
Right.
It's a faithful figure. Put out what God tells you to.
Amen.
And God will honor it. But then number four, they gave not only out of their poverty, they wouldn't give out of their person first. Number two, out of their poverty. Number three, as beyond their power. But they're willing to give as partners.
Amen.
I want you to look at me just a moment. I want to do something. So many church members look at missionaries. I don't mean it's to embarrass any of you fellows, but as strangers.
Sure.
Who come to our church, get our money, go their way, do their thing, and leave us empty-handed. Can I say it in a more simple way? They'll see missions taking away from me and taking away from the church. But I want to say to you, scriptural missions, faith, promise, giving does not take away from you personally. And it does not take away from the church collectively. Missions doesn't cost, it pays.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about some get-rich scheme. I'm talking about a God that loves the world enough He gave His Son to die for it. A God that will provide the money for somebody to go tell Him. And He does it through His people believing God, obeying God. But God so appreciates our faithfulness and our obedience that God will literally kick off some handfuls of purpose.
Amen.
If I could use that illustration from the book of Ruth in the our life. As just if to say, I appreciate you trusting me.
Amen.
I appreciate you obeying me. They gave as partners. Every mission. Let me just say this, and I've got to move this thing on. Take time. Them letters, Becca. What we call them letters? What is them letters? I wonder why they call them that.
Amen.
Would you let me say what I want to say? If you as a church are going to require your missionaries to write, you ought to require your members to read.
Amen. That's good.
Amen. How can you pray for what's on a prayer letter you haven't read?
That's right.
Those are not just interior decor, not wall decor.
Right.
They're prayer letters.
Amen.
And things to pray about and give God praise for as well. But go back there and read those letters. And every soul saved is part of your fruit. At the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Every church, whatever you want to call, builded, founded, planted, that's your work.
Right.
Every work of God, whatever it might be, missionaries you support, that's your fruit.
Amen.
At the judgment seat of Christ. It enlarges your field to do that. Now we come to chapter number 9 quickly. Chapter number 9. And we're looking at verse number 6. We saw the parable. I wish I had time to deal with verse number 7 through verse number 15 of chapter 8, but I don't have. That's not a reflection on time. I got more time than I'm used to having. But I want you to look at verse number 6. And here we have what I call the parable of faith, promise, giving. I don't attempt to know the mind of God at everything. I don't attempt to make you think I know it. But Brother Shepherd, sometimes I wonder if God didn't, as He wrote the Bible and as He lived here among us in the person of Christ. I'm being human. God's not human. But I wonder sometimes if God didn't look at things and say, now how can I say that where they understand it?
Yeah.
I want to show them a picture, a parable of that. Maybe God thought, How can I explain something that the human mind can comprehend about how they can give to missions and I'll give back to them more than they gave?
Right.
And God, again, God's God. He didn't have to do no thinking. He knows everything. But you understand, I'm putting it humanly. And God said, I know what I'll do. I'll give a parable of sowing and reaping.
Amen.
God likens our giving to sowing, our receiving to reaping. In God's law of the harvest, I'm talking about spiritually, there are four unbreakable rules. Now, they're the same thing in the natural law, but sometimes in the natural law, they're broken. You might plant a garden, it may not come up.
Right.
You might plant one early and the frost get it. You might plant one and the deer get it. You might plant one and something else get it.
Yeah.
But look at this. In God's law of the harvest, it will never break and never fail. You reap what you sow.
Right.
Number two, very simple, but you reap after you sow.
Right.
You preach, say, preacher, why would you say that? You'd be surprised at the people who feel like, boy, if God would give me a lot of money, I'd give some to missions.
Right.
It's like me standing beside of my garden and saying, if you'd produce, I'd plant.
Yeah.
Sowing is first and sowing cost.
Right.
You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. Number three, you reap more than you sow.
That's right.
I know there are those pious Christians say, I don't think you ought to give to get. I just look at that crowd and say, I bet you plant a garden to watch it rot. We sow to reap. We sow to reap. And then number four, we reap more than we sow. We reap what we sow, after we sow, more than we sow. But number four, according to how much we sow.
Right.
Now look at verse number seven. In verse number seven, we have the principles of faith promise giving. Verse number 7, the Bible said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I want you to take your card in your hand, and I want you to turn to the back side of it. And I have verse number 7 broken apart in the first four answers that I give to the question on the back of the card. What is faith promise investment? What is faith promise investment? I use that word investment not to change the scripture word of giving. I think I said this earlier. I said often. But giving in the Bible does not really, let me say it the other way. Giving in our conversational English does not really carry what giving in the Bible does. I think you Kentuckians will understand this. Brother Hall, if you give me $100, you better kiss it by.
Right.
It's gone.
Right.
I would do, well, understand, you know, you don't give me money, expect me to turn around and give it back to you.
Right. Right.
But scriptural giving is not giving to lose.
Uh-huh.
It's giving to gain.
Yeah.
You don't lose what you give. It will come back to
right.
you. Amen. Give, and the God that cannot lie said, give, and it shall be given unto you. So I call it investment. That fits more. You know, we talk about Hannah giving Samuel.
Yeah.
But the Bible says at least four times she loaned him to the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Invested him
Amen.
In the work of God. Number one, it's personal giving. Every man. Now, I mentioned this last night. Here's where personal responsibility comes in. Brother Shepherd, you'll understand what I'm saying. Don't respond openly to what I'm fixing to say. I know what you would do, but you have prayed for every member of this church to know God's will in faith promise given today. You may not have named every name, but you prayed as I did a general prayer, every man, every member to know. Brother Hall, you've done it for years. Help everybody do your will. Help everybody to do your will. But Brother Shepherd's prayer is not the essential prayer.
Right.
It's important, but it's not the most important. It's the responsibility of every member of this church to go to God by themselves and for themselves.
Yes,
Now, I mentioned by themselves, preacher, I'm aware some couples give together and they pray together, fine. But I'm talking about you men don't get together and discuss and how much you're going to give. And you don't go to Pastor Shepherd, how much you think I ought to give. And Pastor Shepherd don't go around, Brother Doug, you give this, Brother Hall, you... No. It's personal.
Right.
You have the privilege and you have the responsibility of finding out what God wants you to do. And then you have the accountability of doing what God wants you to do. Personal giving. Number two, it's planned giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. You know, here's another phrase we do not use in conversational language. How long has it been since you said, boy, I purpose in my heart? Sometimes we do that when it's really serious business with God. I purpose in my heart. I'm not going to compromise. We use it, but not often. You know, our big saying is, I made up my mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's mine. This is heart.
Right.
Here's what this word carries with it. If I ask the Lord, and we use this term, if I ask the Lord to speak to my heart, lay upon my heart, whatever expression you use, when God lays that on our heart, we surely ought to be aware of the fact He's not joking, He's not kidding, He's not just saying something. If God says, and I just throw out the figure, if God says $20 a week, He means $20 a week.
Right.
To do that $20 a week is to obey God and be blessed. Not to do that is to sin against God and have to face God for it. Can I get an amen?
Yes, sir.
Serious. Personal responsibility, but personal accountability. Every man, according to his purpose and his heart, so let him give. Just do what God tells you to do, but do what God tells you to do. Obey God. I use illustration many times, and please let me say it again. These kids keep growing up, and they can understand this. But if we were to bring one of these dads down here, and who's got a 5-year-old son, 5-year-old daughter, bring them down here, and I give to the daddy a gallon jug jar. I give to the child a pint jar. I say to them, there's a sand pile behind the building. Go fill these up with sand. They obey. Daddy comes back with a gallon. The little lad comes back, or the child comes back with a pint. Daddy's got 8 times more sand.
Right.
But that little girl or little boy can stand there with that pint full and say just as boldly as the daddy, I done what you told me to do.
That's right.
For every person in this church but one, there'll be somebody giving more to faith promise than you do.
Yep.
I don't know who, have any idea who the top, but don't worry about who the top giver
That's
is.
Right.
Don't worry about how much they give. Don't worry about who your neighbor, what your neighbor gives.
Right.
Worry about knowing what God wants you to do.
Yeah,
Brother Shepherd, with all respect, I will not have to stand before God about what you give to missions.
Right. Right.
I can say that to all you men, you'll not have to stand for me.
Right.
So it's personal giving, it's plan giving, it's persistent giving. Find out what God wants you to do. It's not a one size fits all. Find out what God wants you to do and
Amen.
Do it.
Amen.
Do I need to say one more thing on that? There's that parable over there where that Lord, Master, whichever one he's called his servants, and he gave one 5 talent. Gave another 2 talents. He gave another 1. The one who gained 5 went out and gained, who received 5 went out and gained 5 more. The one who received 2 went out and gained 2 more. You know what the master said to the one that gained 5? Well done, good and faithful servant.
That's right.
You know what he said to the one who had 2 and gained 2? Well done, good and faithful servant.
That's
Both
right.
of them gained 100% increase.
Right.
It's not the amount of the figure, it's obeying God. That God will honor. Personal giving, plain giving, it's plan giving, it's persistent giving, but it's to be positive giving, not grudgingly.
Amen.
I may have said this earlier. I said so much, but I've never seen a happy tightwad. I've never seen a grouchy giver.
Amen.
God loves a cheerful giver. Yet, I have to acknowledge, we are not natural-born cheerful givers. If I can use a Georgia word, we're cheerful getters.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if money's going to be moving hands today, let it come my way.
Yeah.
But How do we become cheerful givers? Number one, we start giving, and God blesses us with that good inner feeling of knowing we've obeyed God.
Amen.
Read the prayer letters and realize that's our fruit. And honestly, it comes to the place it's not I've got to give. But I get to give. God's let me be on the giving end. I'd 10,000 times rather be blessed to live in America and have what I have to enjoy in life than to be raised. I'm not talking about, of course, a mission. I'm talking about to be raised, born and raised somewhere, anywhere else in the world.
That's right.
And waiting on somebody to come. I'm glad I'm on the giving side.
Amen.
God so loved it, He gave it. If we love, we'll give.
Right.
Personal giving, plan giving, persistent giving, positive giving. But then it's proven giving. Look at verse number 8. The verse is about beyond my comprehension. And God is able.
Amen.
Now, Brother Shepherd, you could start next Sunday. I believe it'll be the first Sunday in September. And you could preach from September all the way around through August next year on that subject. God is able and never exhaust.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
But it's not that big in our text today. He's talking about one little thing. And not a little thing, but one thing. He is saying that God is able to supply the money that He wants us to give.
Amen.
For missions.
Amen.
God is able. That's where faith comes in. Is God able to supply what He's putting on your heart to do?
Right.
Do you believe that enough you're willing to write it down? We don't ask you to sign your name to it, but sometimes I think we ought to be willing to sign our name. God put it on my heart. I'm going to trust God to supply it. And God's will be done. Yeah, and God is able, when I look at this, to make all grace abound. I'm still looking for the answer. Your preacher's hitting me. I'd love to know how much grace is all grace.
Amen.
When you find your answer, I'm going to got a verse for you, and He give us more grace. Then God uses the word abound, and the word abound and abundant in your Bible is a picture word of a stream out of its banks, the river running over. You know what makes a river run over? It's got more than it can handle. You know what abounding and abundant of grace is? God giving more than we can contain. Sometimes you see somebody show off when God shows up. Well, I wouldn't do that. If you had what they've got running up and down in your heart, you might do worse. But God's able to make all grace abound toward you. Not the missionary, not the old preacher, not the pastor, but you, the giver.
Amen.
Why would God do that? That you always, I wonder how much of the time that is. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, they abound, overflow unto every good work.
Amen.
You'll drop down with me to verse number 13. I give you this word. And we'll bring it to a close. Several things in between where we're at I don't have time to deal with. Verse 13, the Bible said, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. I'm especially interested in that word, experiment. I practiced that before I knew it was in the Bible. I was taught that, and if a man ever used that verse, I didn't catch it, Brother Fraser. Brother Shepherd. I said Brother Fraser a couple weeks ago. I was experimenting. Will it work? And in a sense, every one of us basically have done that. Will God provide for me? You see, here's the picture God gives him. You're talking about a demonstration of God's mercy. He has spent two chapters, chapter 8 and 9, telling us and teaching us to give and how to give. And now that he mentions experiment. The concept some people have got of our God would be, when God gives two chapters of teaching on giving, it's like he's now there with a ball bat in his hand and said, I said give! Give! No back talk. No word. Give! But the mercy of God knows our constitution, our framework, our heart, our mind. You remember there's a man in the Bible who said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. You see, here's a concept. I went through this, so I'm not fussing at anybody who goes through it, but don't live there all your life. But Shepherd, I used to hear pastors tell what God done. And I tell you what went through my mind. Yeah, he's a pastor. God does things for pastors. I'd have missionaries tell what God's done for them. Yeah, they're missionaries. God does things for missionaries. I'd hear old preachers tell what God... Yeah, they're old preachers. God does things for old preachers. But what we're saying is, what you're saying is, I can't say it anymore. I'm not an old preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. As though these men are favorites of God. I want to tell you something. If this gets hold of your heart, your life will get caught running a red light, barefooted, with your pajamas on at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning downtown Madisonville. God loves you as much as he loves your pastor.
Amen.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, Brother Hall, but God loves every member in this church as much as he loves the old preacher.
Amen.
Me and you and I are together. God loves you as much as he loves a missionary.
Amen.
God has no respect to person.
Right.
But we sit here, and I'm not fussing at all. Yeah, I believe God done that for Brother Shepherd. I believe God done that, Brother Hall. I believe God done that for the mission. I believe God done that for the old preacher. But will he do it for me?
Right.
And the mercy and grace of our God said, try it and see.
That's right. Amen.
God said, give me a chance to prove I can and will do for you.
Amen.
What I've done for others. Flip the card over, if you will, please, and look on the front side. My faith promise in investment in world missions. Now look at the front side of the card. Independence upon God, that brings faith into it. I will endeavor to give above my regular tithes and offerings to the worldwide missionary outreach of our church, the amount circled at right for the coming year. Choose whether you will give weekly or monthly and circle the listed amount. If the amount you feel led to give is not listed, write it on the blank at the bottom. Your faith promises that you will give this amount regularly through your church during the coming year as the Lord enables you. It is your voluntary investment in the Lord's work. If you're not able to pay it, just tell God. No name, no address, no phone number, no social security number, nobody's business but you and God. But I do want to make this cautious statement. God knows if he provides it and you do something else with it. It's not a commitment to be taken lightly. It is a commitment unto the Lord. Now, let's bow our head for just a moment, and some of you may have already filled them out, but let's ask the Lord to confirm in our hearts what we're doing. And if you young ladies will slip on up to the instruments, please, at least one of you, and get ready to play something for us on the music. But you ask the Lord to confirm in your heart what you're doing in this faith promise commitment. If you're a member of the church here that has never been involved, I encourage you, find out what God wants you to do. Ask him, and don't be afraid to trust him. He will provide as you give it unto the Lord. You may have filled out a card earlier, and after the message feel like you need to change it or up it, we'll get you another card, or you can correct it on the one you've got. Either one. Father, one more time, let me thank you. I had the privilege to be born in America. Lord, I have the privilege to be on the giving end of missions. Lord, I've been in church all of my life. I've had a copy of the Word of God all of my life. And Lord, I've had preachers after preachers that affected my life through these years. I am blessed. Lord, my heart goes out to those who cannot make those statements. Thank you, our Father, for the faithful giving of the membership of Island Ford Baptist Church through the years. And Lord, thank you, Father, for the missionaries that they support and for the fruit that will be there at the judgment seat of Christ for them because of their giving. Now, Lord, have your way, I pray. Do what you want to do, what needs to be done, dear Lord. We'll praise you for what you do. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, on the right hand of the card, turn the card in two, if you would, please. Put the big portion back in your Bible. You've got the information on both the front side and the back side. And there's three things. Number one, at the top, circle either weekly or monthly. And by the way, if you want to give 2 weeks, just write it on there where they can read it. If the number's listed that you feel like God wants you to give and the timing element you have marked down, circle it. If it's not there, then write it in on the bottom blank where it says other. Anybody got a question? All right. You mind God with it. I want us to stand with our heads bowed. If you haven't filled it in, we'll give you a moment, just a moment. Well, Shepherd, I don't feel like it would be wise to close this service thinking about people around the world going to hell and overlook the fact somebody could be right here this morning that's lost. And if they're lost, they'll go to the same hell. So without any singing, just music by the ladies, a verse of invitation hymn, if you need to come to this altar, we'll be glad to pray with you and instruct you and help you get to God. Father, move in every heart and life and do what you want to do, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They're playing, heads bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to come, come.